Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 4 of The Large Old Cup. My name is Corey, and you're here with me now. So the intro is new. I decided I wanted to play around, experiment with some kind of music to have a kind of a graceful entrance into this as opposed to just the abrupt hello and welcome. So I aimed for something a little kind of kooky, a little jazzy, something that was a little calm to enter this, because I kind of view this as like a calming podcast, or at least it is for me, in the sense that I'm just kind of here vamping, masticating, if you will, although I feel like there are some people that would accuse me of doing something else with that rhymes a little bit like that, because it kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier in a previous episode about whenever people do things for creativity or art, or God, if I'm going to assume to even call this art, but you know, whenever you do something that's creative and you put yourself out there, there are people who accuse you of having a level of arrogance. And, you know, as again, as a callback to the episode, I don't believe that's the case. I think it's just the journey of trying to do something, anything, just to do something with your life. So yeah, I've been kind of just existing at the moment, you know, just working and living and breathing and being present in this thing that we like to call life. And I've been not, you know, keeping busy with the Smark Avengers, which is the comic book podcast I have with my friends Dylan and John, except it's been mainly Dylan at the moment because John has had these other obligations. So last week, we recorded an episode where we watched a lot of old cartoons from the 1990s, and we really ran the gamut of, like, the first one we watched was, like, something clearly designed to sell toys to children, which, you know, worked, because I think John and I both, you know, realized that we'd had toys from that era. There was another one that was just kind of your straight action-y kind of cartoon. And then there was Phantom 2040, which we watched the first episode of, and it was such a bizarre experience, because I remember watching it as a child and thinking it was kind of weird, and I just always assumed it was weird because it was done by the same people who did the art and animation for Aeon Flux. So if you're familiar with Aeon Flux, everything's a little, like, I don't want to say gruesome, but there is a kind of a beauty in grotesqueness at display in Aeon Flux. Like, everyone's oddly proportioned and angular in ways that are both unappealing and visually appealing to the eye. But that really wasn't the reason why I think I was so caught off guard by it as a child. And, like, watching it now, it's so interesting to me because the message that they kept putting in this episode was, you know, in the year 2040, it's your standard dystopian future. Nature is pretty much dead, the world is dying, the environment's terrible, and people are so distracted by their day-to-day existence and throwing themselves at entertainment that they don't realize, like, the corrupt forces that are at play and, like, how doomed they really are. So that's kind of the story, in that the main character is this, he comes from a history of characters who had lived in the jungle and nature and what have you. But it's so strange how, I mean, this cartoon came out in, like, 1994, and that was, what, 30 years ago now? And it's insane to think that, like, we're in this, like, it was trying to warn us of the future that we currently kind of find ourselves in. And having that distance of seeing, like, what they thought the future was going to be like and what the future is so bizarre. Now, mind you, what I liked about Phantom 2040 is that the year is 2040, as the title would suggest, but it is, it's still in the future, so there's still time for some of the technology to catch up. Because, I mean, you know, no flying cars, no lasers, you know, laser guns that people just have ready access to. But it's still that same thing of, like, wow, everybody's just completely relying on technology. And like the main villain, who is voiced by the great Margot Kidder, who was Lois Lane in the Christopher Reeve Superman movies. You know, she was essentially kind of brainwashing people through this virtual reality game to ignore like the bad things that are happening, or at least swaying their opinion on this objective she was trying to push across, this corruption. And it's like, yeah, again, like everyone's so distracted by technology these days, and you're walking around with a computer in your pocket, for God's sake. You know, like this is the future that was promised to us, and while we don't have the flying car, we do have the pocket computer. The world's entire history is available to you at your fingertips at any given time, and like, what do we do with it? Like, you know, like we're diving into social media and distracting ourselves with nonsense, or we're, you know, numbing ourselves with, you know, doom scrolling and pornography or what have you. And it's just so, like, when you take that step back and just look at that, it's so fucking weird that, you know, this is what we're doing with that technology. And then, of course, the other element of that theme is, hey, the world's dying because of pollution and because of overpopulation, and the natural resources are being eaten away and they're not renewing as quickly as they used to because of the sheer demand and the removal of environmental protections. So, you know, that's fun, because right now it seems like every place in the country is having temperatures that are above what is normal for this time of year, which was the same case last year and the same case before. And it just makes me realize, like, I remember being a kid, and winter, there would be tons and tons of snow, like always tons of snow. And the last few winters I've had, at least, you know, and I understand that I am not in West Virginia anymore. I'm in Ohio, and the climate's a little different, but still, like, there hasn't really been too many significant winters since I've been here in regards to snow. There have been extremes in temperature. You know, we had polar vortexes where the temperature dipped below like negative 35. And then we have this current streak right now where every day is a high UV warning and the temperature is just like hovering in the mid 90s. So, you know, I don't know if it's fascinating or sad at this point. Like, wow, they really fucking called it. Like, fucking, like a baseball player pointing to the far right field saying, that's where I'm going to hit this home run. They called that shot and they swung and they connected. So, it sounds like this show is going to be really doom or gloom. I remember it being kind of dark because the animation of itself was kind of dark, like a lot of heavy blacks and deep colors that were used. But, you know, all 30-some episodes of this show are up on YouTube. I think it's Comics Kingdom is the name of the YouTube account. So, you know, it is owned by the company that owns the Phantom, so they put the whole thing up for free on YouTube for people to watch. I don't know if it's just their way of saying, like, look, here's this thing we made, or maybe they believe there's, like, a greater theme that people deserve to see. But, you know, this is my attempt to help advertise that and kind of push it forward. But it's just so strange, because I guess, like, we'll talk about, like, when you're a kid and you have your idea of what the future is going to be like, you know? And I think we all grew up with, like, Star Wars and Star Trek and stuff, and, you know, we're still God knows how many years away from any of that stuff even coming remotely possible, but it's a comforting thought, I suppose, in a sense. I don't really like to go into the realm of politics. After, you know, during the pandemic, I was on Twitter a lot, and I found myself, like, not only becoming addicted to, like, doom scrolling, but, like, finding myself, like, becoming angry and irritable at strangers to the point that I would, like, go on these rants about it. And, you know, it was being pointed out to me, it's like, why do you care so much? And it finally kind of dawned on me that, like, none of this is real. None of this is real. Like, the people that you're interacting with online, like, they're real to a degree. I mean, you're communicating with them, but they're not in your day-to-day life. They're not people that you see on the streets. They're just they're a picture and a name that you interact with, you know, via text. You know, if you're not the type to call people and do video chats or what have you. So when I realized this and I realized how much of like reality is being manufactured and sold to people, you know, basically like if you go in one area, everything's terrible and awful and we're all doomed. And if you go in the other area, they're telling the opposite side of things, like everything's terrible, awful, and we're all doomed. And this is what you have to do to save it. And it's just completely counteractive to what the other side's saying, that what you have to do to save it. And you, it just dawns on you, like, oh, like, we're giving ratings and clicks and attention to these people that are inspiring all this doom and gloom. And how much of this is real? You know, like, how much of this is stuff that I'm feeling in my regular everyday existence? When I open my eyes in the morning and I close my eyes at night, like, am I having interactions like this? Like, am I finding myself dealing with the opposition at all times? Like, they're wanting you to believe that you are, and truth be told, you're not. So I just made the decision to unplug myself to a degree. You know, I got rid of Twitter, and I went to Instagram, and I have an Instagram account that's personal, but the last post I made was in December. And, you know, just to give you an idea now, today is July 11th. And I find myself not really missing any of that stuff. Like, I'm out of the loop on things, and I'm aware of that. But, you know, if that's the consequence for not being in the loop of the doom and gloom and everything's terrible and awful and we're all going to die horrific deaths unless you vote for this person or share this post or have a strong opinion about this thing, I can accept that. So to give you an idea of like what my social media interactions are, I follow Critical Role stuff, which it's like it's a very big D&D community thing. If you don't know what it is, yeah, if you're into D&D, check it out. I follow comic book related stuff. I follow the local Columbus, Ohio hardcore scene because there's a lot of amazing bands that play at a fucking laundromat up the street. I haven't gotten the courage to go there yet because I'm 37 years old and I'm busted by the youth standards. So I just be the old man there that's going to get cartwheel kicked in the face by some 20-year-old kid with a tattoo on his face. So, you know, I'm trying to avoid that aspect of my life if I can. Like, not that I feel like I'm too old to be there. I just don't want to be the old guy that's taking up space. But I digress. And I follow a lot of, like, vintage universal monster horror stuff because I'm a sucker for old-fashioned things. I love it. I love, like, the Boris Karloff Frankenstein. I love, even though it's completely inaccurate to the book, you know, because Frankenstein in usual depictions is a slow, lumbering, you know, monster. But in reality, Frankenstein was a very well-spoken, beautiful soul who was dealing with being born to his creator not wanting him. And if you know anything about me, you will know how hard that hits you, or how hard it hits me, and how close to the bone that cuts. But again, I digress. You know, like Bela Lugosi, you know, Dracula, I think the old-fashioned stuff is just so goddamn cool, and I don't think they'll ever hit anything like that mark again. So it's why I'm so obsessed with it. And you know, to kind of take a path, take a turn, that's, you know, Frankenstein is a character that is incredibly important to me. The same as, like, Superman, which is so funny because they're on total opposite ends of the spectrum. If you listen to the Smark Avengers, you will know that I love Superman. Superman is one of my favorite characters of all time. I did not have a very strong male role model in my life. And because of that, I turned to comic books. And Superman was kind of the person that helped me want to be the person that I want to be. You know, he's well, a lot of people think he's like hokey, or they like Wolverine or Deadpool or Batman or other like kind of cynical characters. And those characters are all fucking amazing. And I enjoy reading them too. But like, you know, Superman sees the good in people. Even like his enemies, he still tries to find the good. He looks for the silver linings. He believes in hope, in kindness, in human decency, and just trying to be the best version that you can be. And I've been trying to do that my entire life. I had a therapist once who told me that I had an unhealthy preoccupation with trying to be a good person. And that was such a weird sticking point with me, because, like, I understand that sometimes that leads to me overextending myself for people and not taking care of myself as a result. And it is called the Superman complex for a reason. But it is, I don't think there's anything inherently wrong with that. But going back to Frankenstein, Frankenstein's a character that is very near and dear to me as well, because, you know, he was born into a world that didn't want him or need him, and his whole existence is trying to find a place to belong and trying to make peace and find love in a world that has nothing for him. Not to say that there's no peace or love in the world for me, but there is, you know, I very much grew up feeling like an outsider, have my entire life, and a lot of that has to do with, you know, having an undiagnosed mental illness until I was in my late 20s. So, you know, it's hard to shake off those feelings of alienation and feeling like everyone else is speaking another language from you, and everything they do that you find really difficult to do that they do so seamlessly is like magic. You know, it's such an odd experience, because, like, I have a tendency of self-isolating when things are bad, of, you know, kind of removing myself and disconnecting myself from the world. And I've done a really good job of that most of my life, of losing contact with people, and not from any desire to, just kind of a assumption that, you know, why would somebody want to have anything to do with me? And, you know, there's, of course, reasons for why I think that way. And a lot of that does go back to the whole mental illness thing. But I guess, you know, there's that saying, like, inside of you, there are two wolves. And I guess inside of me, there is a Superman and there is a Frankenstein. There is somebody who wants to be the good that they want to see in the world, and then there's somebody who feels like they're consistently just out of step with everything around them. And it's that juxtaposition, it's that contrast that I think is what makes somebody truly human. So maybe that's a fun thought exercise for you to try out sometime. Like, if you sit down in, like, your heart of hearts and you think, like, what are the two fictional characters that I feel like make me up as a person? Just to kind of see, like, what you end up with. Like, and have that really honest conversation with yourself. Like, listen, we probably all want to be, like, fucking Deadpool and funny and sarcastic and super witty and in on the joke. Very few of us probably are, though. You know, there's going to be an element of wishful thinking in your thought process. And that's just, again, I think that's just being human. So, I guess, like, in reality, the trick is to determine, like, how much of each are you going to put into that one person that you are? Like, how much of the good are you going to take with the bad? Are you going to try to find a full balance? Are you going to try to outweigh one another? And if you don't have the honest conversation with yourself, are you letting the bad overpower the good? And is there such thing as good and evil? Because there are some people that don't believe that. There are people who think that, you know, that in reality everything's just shades of gray. And then, yeah, there's probably a degree of truth to that. You know, to think that the world is black and white is to have an incredibly, like, objectivist view of things. And nobody wants to be Ayn Rand, right? God knows I don't. Listen, I tried to read Atlas Shrugged, and I just, what a miserable existence that person led. I had a conversation about her with a coworker once. I will tell you that as a man who is 37 years old, 37, most of my work friends that I've made over the years have always been older women. And I don't know if it's just that, like, I give a kid brother vibe or what, but I have a coworker who we have these long-winded discussions about movies from the 1980s and 90s and old television shows and like, but also like books that we read and characters that we've identified with. And like lately, like we had a conversation about like serial killers and what have you. And she's just kind of a wonderful person. And I think it's important to kind of have that. You need that one work buddy. Like maybe you don't hang out outside of the office, but like they help you get through the 9 to 5, so to speak. And yeah, I guess, I don't know. I feel like this is being a little more all over the place than previous episodes. And maybe that is. But it, again, it's stream of consciousness, right? We're just walking in and unloading and finding out what's lurking there in the subconscious. So I mentioned the whole mental illness thing earlier. So I'm bipolar type 2. I deal with, I am very much a person dealing with complex PTSD, which is great. And I'm starting with a new therapist on Monday, which I am both excited and not so excited about. Because like the very first few therapy sessions are always brutal. Because in order for this person to know you, you have to start reopening all of these old wounds that never really were closed up to begin with. So you get to relive a bunch of really painful memories and feel a lot of feelings you swore that you were done feeling. And then, you know, 45 minutes are up and you got to get your shit back together to go back out in the real world. And I understand it's going to be good for me at the end of it. And I hope it is. Because, you know, I really need it. I've been dealing with a lot of, like, repressed memories that are coming back and dealing with falling into these really familiar patterns where slowly but surely I'm, like, finding myself going into a really not-so-great place. And previous years, I felt like I was just able to, like, all right, recognize the pattern, course correct, which is incredibly stubborn to do, but I can be a very stubborn person when I want to be. So I did that for a while, and then I feel like everything's kind of come to a head again, and if I don't do something about it, I'm never going to do anything about it, which is very simple and very complex to say at the same time. So I guess that's what it's preoccupying my mind a lot right now, is this focus on like trying to get better and trying to understand myself better than I've ever understood myself before, which is going to involve being incredibly open and honest with a stranger. And that's fine, because I believe that being open and honest is the best policy for everything. I believe in sincerity in the truest sense of the word. I believe you should say everything you mean and mean everything you say. For a long time, I had a screenshot of a clip or a scene from a movie called Frank that starred Michael Fassbender. And in it, he plays this very enigmatic singer for a very experimental band who's this gifted songwriter. And the movie's from the perspective of this guy who is incredibly just mediocre, and he wants to be great and mysterious. And he's trying to crack Frank's code to see what it is that made him the way that he is, thinking it was some sort of childhood trauma or some sort of an accident or anything like that. But in the scene, they're discussing songwriting, and Frank just says, make everything for everyone. And it's a simple idea, but it's incredibly difficult to put in practice, because it requires a lot of vulnerability, and it requires a lot of willingness to get hurt. And I suppose that's the kind of thing I'm aiming for in life. If I'm going to live up to that Superman, if I'm going to let go of the Frankenstein monster that is desperately trying to find, you know, that inner peace, I have to allow myself to be vulnerable, which is just ironic considering Superman's the Man of Steel and completely invulnerable to most things except for kryptonite and magic. But that's that's where I find myself a lot of the time anymore, is coming back to this. And like, I just don't want to live a life that goes by so quick that I don't recognize when it's over. I want to live that sort of strenuous life where I'm pushing myself to get better and smarter and more well-rounded. And I set these lofty goals for myself sometimes, and I feel like I am setting myself up for failure, but then I, you know, that's just setting myself up for failure, thinking that I'm setting myself up for failure, and it's a loop. But, you know, like, every winter is Russian literature winter, where I try to read Russian literature because it feels like it's the right time to do it. It's cold and it's gray, and Russian literature is incredibly dense. And, you know, there's been several years where I've failed in a row, and, you know, I know I'm going to try again. It's, you know, I want to study philosophy and get a better understanding of it. I want to get better physically, like health-wise. Not necessarily just to, like, look good, but, like, so that I can keep living as long as possible. So I can keep pushing myself forward and keep trying to learn and you know, just live a life that's extraordinary. And not to be remembered or anything by anyone. Like, to assume that you're going to be remembered in face of the billions of people that have existed before you and will after you is such a lofty goal and dare I say, arrogant. But, like, live an extraordinary life that you feel as satisfied as one can be when it's time to take your boots off and close the curtains for good. I always kind of get surprised where I start and where I end up here. Because truth be told, my head's swimming right now, and I don't even remember how I started this episode. And it's only been like 27 or so minutes since I did. And I guess, again, that's kind of the point of the Stream of Consciousness podcast, is you just open up and let everything come out that needs to come out. And sometimes that's... sometimes that's in a really weird way. It doesn't make any sense. And yeah, I suppose we can end there on a, we'll end in a state of confusion. Isn't that exciting and fun? I have no idea what I did. I have no idea how I got here, but by golly, we did. We climbed Mount Everest. We lost 3 toes, but by God, we climbed it. So, that's been episode 4 of Large Old Cup. My name is Corey. Check out The Smark Avengers if you're interested in listening to me and two of my friends talk about comic books and silly things. Subscribe to this podcast if you don't already so that you can kind of participate in this thought experiment. And by all means, please participate. You know, rate, leave reviews, whatever. I am fascinated to see what other people think about stuff. So until next time... keep living strenuously, keep making for yourself, and just find what's out there for you. It's a big world out there. There's stuff out there for you. You just got to figure out where it is and how to get there. Goodbye.